My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ, who eagerly await the coming of our heavenly bridegroom, that is Christ Jesus our Lord. You ever been left out of something before? It doesn't really matter too much what it is. You had a social gathering among all your friends, but you were never told about it. You weren't there, you heard about it secondhand. It was that family gathering, the family reunion, that for some reason your invitation didn't come. It goes on and passes without you. Or that wedding. Everybody you knew went, but you weren't asked. It hurts, doesn't it? That feeling of being left out, of being all alone, of being the one who has to ask yourself, or at least we do ask ourselves, why is it that nobody wanted me? What was so bad about me or my family that we weren't invited, that we weren't even wanted? It could have been an innocent mistake. It could have been that they thought you were told and they were wrong. Or your invitation did get lost. Or something strange did happen. That doesn't change the fact that our mind is going to run through every possible situation and scenario, and that loneliness and that depression are going to come in. We can understand that loneliness and that depression right now. As we isolate from people, as we know we have family and friends we would love to be able to visit, love to be able to do things with, but for whatever reasons, we can't even see them. And that loneliness and that depression that come and hit so hard and take such an emotional toll and also a physical toll. If it's this bad, though, to be left out of something here on earth, something that really is just a fleeting moment in time, how much worse would it be to be left out of heaven? To miss out on that heavenly banquet that God has prepared for all those who believe and trust in Him. To not be invited in there. Because this is more than just a party. This is all eternity. We can cope with all kinds of things. I mean, we can cope with being left out of social situations by telling ourselves that we really didn't want to go anyway. We wouldn't have had any fun. We're better company all on ourselves anyway as we curl up on the couch with a movie and popcorn. I don't need those people. I'll find better friends. Maybe people can even try to cope with being left out of the promise of heaven by telling themselves that well, I'll be just fine on my own. I'll take eternity, however it comes. And yet none of it really makes up for anything. None of it really is good enough to be what changes that hurt heart that we have. Because let's face it, when it comes to our heavenly home, there's only one other alternative, and it's eternal punishment in hell. There's really no comparison, is there? And so how do we deal with that loneliness? Well, God today, as He is telling us about the joy that He has prepared for all of those who believe and trust in Him, those who are living now and those who have gone before us, as we celebrate this Saints Triumphant, we're led back to one of the parables that Jesus told, recorded in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 25. And really, this is Jesus giving each and every one of us a call to be ready at all times, because we don't know when it is going to happen. And quite frankly, we don't want to be left out in the cold when it comes to being ushered into our heavenly home. Jesus' disciples had a plethora of questions. In fact, it seemed like every time Jesus would explain something, every time that He would go into the Scriptures and try to expound on things, it really just left the disciples with more and more questions. They learned a lot, but as most times in education, the more you learn, the more you thirst for more knowledge. And so they began to ask Him all these questions, and one of the things they asked is, what will the signs be like at the end of the age? How will we know that it is coming? So Jesus began to teach, talking to them about what it will look like and how it will be. And in the midst of all of that explanation, He tells this parable from Matthew. This parable that really says, you need to be ready because we don't know when. You need to be ready at all times. This is what is recorded. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. We have to understand something culturally, because what is taking place here really wouldn't have been that all uncommon for them. As odd as it may seem for us that we have these 10 virgins, these 10 young ladies who are waiting around for the bridegroom to come, I mean, that's just is way out of our cultural norm. But not for them. Because the wedding festivities in Israel would take a week, if not more. It would start as the groom would leave his home and he'd come to pick up the bride. And really, these 10 young women, these virgins, were the ones who were more like bridesmaids. They attended to the bride. They took care of getting everything ready so that she was ready when the bridegroom would come. But all of that has happened already. Because now here they wait for the groom to come and for them to join the procession into the wedding banquet. And without him, they're not getting in. But we learn something else about these young ladies. Because it says, for the purposes of Jesus' story, that five of them were wise and five of them were foolish. Because five of them came prepared and five of them didn't. It continues by saying this. When the foolish ones took their lamps, they did not take any oil with them. But the wise took oil in their containers with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and fell asleep. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, "No, there may not be enough for us and for you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." We see how five were wise and five were foolish. Because, like I said, five came prepared. They had no way of knowing how long the groom was going to take. They had no idea how long they would have to wait. And he's delayed. We don't know why. He got stopped on the road. Something came up. They didn't leave the house on time. But they're waiting. They're waiting way longer than they ever thought they would. They have to wait all the way till midnight. And by that point, can you imagine? You're waiting, who knows when they started, 5-6 hours with nothing to do. They get drowsy. They fall asleep. Until that shout comes up from the watchman, "The bridegroom is here. He is on his way. Get up and get ready." And so they do. But the problem is, by this point, their lamps are burning out. We have to understand a little bit for the mental picture, I think, about what this would have looked like. I think a lot of times we think of a lamp and we see kind of that little bronze or brass fixture or a clay jar that has oil in it. It wouldn't have done you much good outside. It was fine for in your homes, but it wouldn't have been good for a nighttime procession where you wanted to illuminate everything around. And that's when it talks about trimming the lamps. I mean, it probably was more like a torch, a pole with a cloth wrapped around the end that was dipped in oil. And now as they trim it, they have to cut off the burnt portion as the cloth is beginning to burn. They have to reapply the oil so that it won't burn all the way through. And five of them were ready for that. They had brought the extra oil. They had prepared themselves, and the others weren't. "Give us some of yours, but maybe there's not enough for everyone. What happens if all of you share the same oil that's brought, and halfway down the procession you run out, and there's no more light? It's not going to go over well." And so the others get sent off. "Go and find some. Maybe you should have been prepared in the first place. Maybe you should have been ready, because you didn't know how patient you would need to be to wait." But it doesn't end well. "But while they were away buying oil, the bridegroom came. Those who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came and said, 'Lord, Lord, let us in.' But he answered, 'Amen, I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.' While they were gone, he came, and they missed out. They had not been properly prepared. They were not ready. They weren't keeping watch. They weren't ready. And he comes, and now they're out of luck. And by the time that they come to the doors of the wedding banquet, they can pound all they want, but the people at the door don't know them. They're not going to let them in. And so, there's Jesus' last warning. Keep watch, because you don't know the day and the hour where the bridegroom will come to take you into the heavenly banquet." That's really the connection. Because we have to ask ourselves, what does this all mean? I don't think any of us are going to participate in a nighttime bridal procession. I don't see that happening. So the need to be able to have fresh oil for our lamps, that's not a big deal. Or maybe you could say fresh batteries for your flashlight if you want to give it modern day feel. But there is meaning for us when it comes to being ready. I mean, again, we're in that season of end time. We're looking forward to when Christ will come again in all of His glory, that He will come with the trumpet call of God. The angels upon angels will be behind Him as He shouts the praises of His God, and as all are brought to be judged. He is coming to usher us into our heavenly home where we will spend all of eternity. And so, when is that going to come? We don't know. Thus the point of Jesus' parable, because we don't know the day, because we don't know the hour, we need to be ready right now. Because as far as I know, it could happen in the next 5 seconds. Maybe a little longer. But we don't know. That's the point. And so He says, you need to be ready right now. I mean, we can make ourselves this whole heap of excuses on why I can do whatever I want and I can go off however I want. It'll be fine. I'm just going to wait. I will continue to live my life however I see fit. I don't have to listen to God. I don't have to follow His will. I can live however I please. Because, well, when I get on my deathbed, I'll just come back to Him. I'll apologize and everything will be great. Maybe. If we make it that long. If you haven't gotten so far gone that you don't even have the ability. If God hasn't said, you who hardened your heart, so be it. We don't know the day or the hour. It's a call to patience. Because we need to be ready now. And how are we going to do that? How is it that we keep that flame burning, that fire of faith that the Holy Spirit has lit within us? How do we keep it burning? It's by feeding it. We have to have the oil. We have to be exposed to God's Word and to God's will. We have to be reading His Scriptures. We have to be meditating upon His Word, however that comes, because that is the fuel of our faith. And it will keep burning brightly until that day when He comes. And we will be ready. Because I think all of us want to be the ones who say, when God comes suddenly, good, it's about time, I'm ready to go. Instead of the one who says, no, hold on just a minute, I got a couple things I have to take care of. Because He's not going to wait. We need to be ready. So that we're not left out into the cold darkness of sin and hell for all eternity. Because there's no going back. It will happen at that moment. But that's our joy. Because for those of us who say, I trust in my Savior Jesus Christ, in Him who died to take away my sins, that put our faith in Him and say, now Lord, feed my faith so that it ever burns brightly, as we live each and every day, we can have confidence in the fact that when He comes, He will take us home. It's why we can have confidence today on Saints Triumphant that our loved ones who have gone before us, who have finished their race in faith, have already been ushered into the heavenly banquet. And now we just wait for our day to join them. This is the joy that we have in our Savior, Jesus. We just have to stay ready. We have to wait patiently for another 2,000 years, if that's what it takes. Because the day will come when we least expect it. And He will take us home to be with Him in heaven. We will not be left out. Not those who live and die in faith. Amen.